I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Looks like we have everybody here. That's great. Next on our opening items is citizen input. If there's any citizens here that would like to address the council on an item that is council business but not on the agenda, please raise your hand. I'll allow up to 5 minutes for you to address the council. Okay, since we don't have any citizen input, we'll go to approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Dan first, Ken Johnson second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, that passes. Consent agenda, do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Charles and Ken. Kaler second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. All right, we'll go down to current business. Cost report associated with express bill pay. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Last year in May, on May 10th, I did a first report on express bill pay, how it was going and what our average charge was or fee was for the city. And so I want to carry that through. We did the first 4 months of 2010, and now I'm doing the second 8 months of 2010. The review data was taken from May to December. A spreadsheet is attached showing the date of the transaction, the amount, number of payments for each day of the 8 months with totals at the bottom. Total billings for the 8 months are then divided by total transactions for the same period, which equals an average cost per transaction of 0.89972 cents. And then I'll walk through some of these items. And then I just might want to note that staff is pleased with the online payment system. Utility accounts are updated electronically. There are more bank bill pay transactions than credit card transactions. And the bill pay transactions are people who go into their account and use their bill payer to send their bills in. Those checks used to come into City Hall, and then the girls at the counter had to actually write up receipts and everything to process them through the system. And so they were very cumbersome for us. And Express Bill Pay now changes those into an electronic transaction. And they just come just like everything else, just like a credit card transaction. So that's really saved our staff a lot of time. That's been a real blessing. So I'll bring up some of the items that, and give you a walkthrough on this. This is the spreadsheet. This is the bottom page. This is the first page. So this is May through August of 2010, and the totals here are for all both spreadsheets. But so this is the total I had mentioned just a few minutes ago. You see the total billings for the 8 months, $2,155.72, and the total transactions were $2,396. If you look at the transactions at the bottom of these four columns, you see these numbers, and they're growing from the first 4 months. I brought an Excel picture of the first 4 months as just to give you an idea. But as you look at these, and then you go down to these next 4 months, you see that it's growing. And that the last one, the December one, 330 transactions, is 16.1% of our monthly utility bill. So it's gradually growing, and people are taking advantage of it. I know what I wanted to show you. This is the fee schedule. This was the fee schedule that we got from Bias in the very beginning. So I compare everything to this fee schedule to make sure that they're charging, they're not charging any more than the fees. If they want to charge us less, I don't mind that at all. But if they charge us more, then of course I get right on that. This is a copy of a bill we get. And I was going to show you in this quantity column right here, the third item down, the 176 items. This is in a, I think, a typical month, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, it doesn't have to be a month. It's just a day. It's just a typical day. There was the online banking. This online banking bank bill pay transactions are those checks I was telling you about that they change into electronic payments. And there was hundreds. There's more of those than there are of everything else combined. So you can see that it's really saving our staff a lot of time in this, and it's just that it's been a real blessing. See, the other thing I want to show you. This is the first 4 months, and you can see that the numbers were a little bit lower. The totals were a little bit lower than the second 4 months, and then the third 4 months again were a little bit higher. And the average then was 0.89331. And if we go back into here, let's see. We see it's 89972, a little bit higher. And there can be a lot of reasons for that. And I just can't go into all of them, but there's bank charges for a lot of things. For instance, if we get NSFs, we get an extra charge for that. So you won't always see NSFs in every month or whatever, but when we do, there is an additional charge for that. So there are some variations that can take place in the bank side. That's pretty much the Express Bill Pay review. Are there any questions that I can answer about this?
Go ahead, Mark.
On the typical billing, we have online banking, which I take it as just we give you your account number, you just take it out of our accounts.
Yeah.
And there's the credit debit card. But what's the EFT web transactions?
Electronic fund transfers.
How's that different from a credit card versus the online banking?
Let me go into the, and I can bring it up again. Is this one? EFT web transactions. I don't know that I have a definition for that. I have all of the backup. I'll have to get a definition for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Online banking is when you go into your bank and you send a check. EFT is a direct deposit or direct funds transfer. It transfers the money. That's what I have mine under. It transfers it directly from my bank to you guys without any checks or anything.
This is the cheapest way for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do too. So online banking, they have to physically go in and do something every month?
But obviously that's
they're sending a check.
Receives it.
Right.
And charges us.
So where you're not writing out a check, the bank or the company sends a check to the place.
Yeah. Now I'm starting to recall. You actually signed up to have that done, and they just access your account every month for the amount.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. Yeah. Thank you very much for clarifying that. That was good.
Electric funds transfer.
Yeah. That's good.
The skeptic in me is, and we used to get grilled on this out at work, is okay, it's costing us $2,000 for what was that eight-month period, and I agree that staff doesn't have to deal with that, but unless you actually reduce people's hours or lay people off, how is that time resources benefiting us?
Well, you know, I wouldn't. It is benefiting us to some extent, and we may not make all of that back. But I think really, this whole thing started as a convenience for our utility customers, and so the charge is against the utilities, it's distributed three ways, evenly three ways, because they all get billed at the same time. So really, the charge to these utilities is around, what, about, out of that would have been, about $800 per utility for eight months, which really isn't so bad. So I think that was more of a convenience than really thinking that we would. But we have done some, there is some savings in it. Yeah. And if you have any other questions, ask Gina. She's sharp. Thanks, Gina. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, amendment to the sewer agreement with Adams County Water District Number 1, Amy.
Mike, I think that was a case of being too close to the forest.
Yeah.
He deals with it every day.
Yeah.
He knows what it is. Tonight we're asking council to consider an amendment to the agreement with Adams County Water District Number 1. Wastewater treatment agreement. The reason for this is we have done the agreement for water already. The boundary lines have been changed, and we have to now address the sewer portion of it. So the agreement you have before you is basically the same with a couple modifications, and they are that the term of the agreement has changed from 99 years to 30. Now they've already expended 26 years of the 99. So we're just going to go from this point forward with an additional 30. Now they have to approve this too. They have not done that yet. Another change, and this is the important one, is the accountability for us to bill the residents for Water District Number 1. And in sewer, it's done per resident. And what we are going to do is establish a baseline, the number of residents they count with us and we count with them. Then, instead of them reporting monthly to us the number of accounts, which they really haven't done a good job of, they will report to us twice a year. They report to us in January, July, and that report is good for 6 months. So it helps them and helps us our billing process. So we have two reads, good for 6 months. And Mark, I'm sorry you asked, I didn't explain that well last time. It's not just a 1 month period, it's for 6 months. So thanks for asking that before. The only real other change is, by definition, we have identified who's responsible for which lines. And in here it's very clear which lines the city is responsible, which sewer lines the city is responsible for. So those are really the basic changes to the agreement to make the billing more efficient for sewer with Adams County Water District Number 1, and to shorten the term from 99 to 30 years. So with that, we would ask that you approve the amendment with Adams County Water District Number 1.
So every 6 months, do we go out with them and recount? Is that what we're doing?
If there's a discrepancy, initially we will, to establish a baseline. But after that, we can, if we feel there's a large discrepancy between the numbers, or if they've had excessive billing and we don't believe the report is accurate, we can do that at any time.
Any questions? Mark, go ahead.
In these contracts, does it stipulate what happens if the water district doesn't pay us, or is that some kind of RCW that takes care of that?
Yes, this clarifies the process if they don't pay us.
Okay.
We can go out to them. Actually, eventually, we can take over their system. It's the end result of failure to pay.
Okay, so I hear a motion to move to approve the amendment to the Adams County Water District Number 1 sewer agreement.
I so moved.
Second.
Ken Kaler was first. Gina was second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Thank you. Okay, an ordinance creating OMC section 6.04.015 titled Number of Dogs.
If I can make a final comment, Mayor, on the sewer district, something that is important to the council. Debbie has been meeting with basically her counterpart, the lady that does the billing for them. They've established May as a transition date that will transition from the city to the water district for billing.
Is that water and sewer?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, dogs. The council, this is our third or fourth meeting relative to dogs, and we have four amendments or ordinances to our existing codes. Recall, our initial object was to remove the contradiction between Title VI and Title XVII. So we have broken those out, our city attorney has, and I'd like to review with council and mayor each one of these. And we can start with the ordinance creating the Belleville Municipal Code section 6.04. And you have a new copy that's on your desk tonight. And the way you can tell that is at the very bottom, number 3, limit on number of litters. And the council members for this actually came from our discussion today. We put this in. Limit on number of litters. If you have that at the very bottom of page 1, you have the right copy. So this is a change to chapter 6 in our municipal code, and it addresses number of dogs. Number 1, the limit, maximum number of dogs for each dwelling or lot is limited to 3 over the age of 4 months. And again, 4 months was a veterinarian recommendation because of the shots required. Do you not have the right one?
No, we have the right one. Just out of curiosity, I found that the last meeting, our litter number was 3.
Well, we can change it. You're right, it was. I said 2 today, that was my error. But you're right, when we get down to that, we can change it, so nobody knows.
I just remember.
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're right. So number 1 was limit 3 over the age of 4 per dwelling, not for citizen, not for member of household, per dwelling. Number 2, exceptions to the limit. And again, this flows back to Title 17, is a kennel permit. More than 3 dogs are required, are permitted for commercial kennels as defined in Chapter 17, and they must have a permit for a kennel. B, residential foster dog permit. There is no change to that per our discussion at the last meeting. Up to 5 dogs, that means 3 that are licensed, the 3 we've already said, plus 2 foster dogs, is a total of 5 dogs in a resident. And we'll go through that when we get to the foster dog one. The existing pets, any family possessing or keeping more than 3 licensed dogs over the age of 4 months at the time of adoption of this ordinance, or who has applied for, and this is important, or has applied for and been denied a license for such a dog because of the temporary moratorium on licensing more than 3 dogs per household at the time of adoption of this ordinance, may maintain those same dogs and is exempt from this section. Now, to clarify, at the end of our last meeting, you were asked, this lady has 8 dogs, she had a 9th, and you were asked if she could maintain the 9th dog. She had come to City Hall, done her due diligence, tried to license it. Per your instructions, she was not allowed to do that, and council said at your last meeting, let's do some stipulation. If they have come to the city and tried to do it, let's allow them to have more than what they had licensed before. That language takes care of that. Now, I will tell you, the concern was we're going to have everybody coming out of the woodwork to say, yes, I came. But we have documentation on who came and who didn't. And I'll tell you that only 1 person came. So this really applies only to 1 lady. So that takes care of that situation. The intent is that people who currently have household pets in excess of the maximum number may continue to own such pets until those pets die or sold, transferred, or otherwise rehomed. Thank you. I was going to ask you that today. So anyway, I think this captures the desires of the council from your comments at the last meeting. Limit of 3 dogs, people that have licensed more in the past can maintain, they must through attrition reduce, and if they came and asked for an additional license and were refused, they can maintain that dog. So with that, I would ask, and hopefully answer any questions, and ask the council to consider adoption.
We got number 3 yet, don't we?
I'm sorry?
Limit of number of litters?
Right. Change 2 to 3, and Catherine also pointed out in number 3, the maximum number of litters per calendar year, you add the word calendar, residences two, and let's change that to three. That was a discussion at the last meeting, so thank you again, Councilmember Darnall.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Back up here just a minute. Can I get a definition of a dwelling?
Dwelling? I don't have it in the kennel one, but I can get it to you in the building permit section.
The question is, I'm asking here is, you say three dogs per dwelling. If you live in an apartment, is that a dwelling, or is that each one of them a separate dwelling?
Each one is a separate dwelling.
I'm sorry.
Each apartment would be a separate dwelling.
So each household would basically be that.
If the apartment allowed pets.
I just want to clarify this, and then the problem come up somewhere down the road here.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I just have a problem with the number of litters. I think over two is more than a hobby.
But I think we said three because if it fell at the beginning or end of the year, and there was one in the middle, if it overlapped the beginning and the end of the year, we said three.
Right. We talked about the cycles of producing litters. I think it was 4 months. And you could do two, but then it could lap over to the next year, is why the council was talking about two, and then they settled on three.
I don't agree. I mean, we're already stretching the survey we got back, the majority of citizens, they said, according to the survey, they wanted a limit of two dogs. We've already extended that, and now we're too loose of control on the number of litters, in my opinion. I don't care what the cycle is of a dog. I think also, the other thing I'm uncomfortable about this, and it obviously applies to the member of the audience, is somebody should be speaking for the neighbors of we're allowing basically nine dogs. We're allowing a commercial kennel with no restrictions on how long that can keep going until the pets pass away. And so the neighbors aren't getting any relief from this ordinance from where there has been a previous complaint. That's true.
And if they didn't take the initiative to come in here and do their time, so be it.
I mean, what is our number? Third or fourth meeting?
Yeah, whether the number is one, two, three, or nine, it's still the same thing. If somebody went to you and said, hey, we're not going to have dogs in Othello, and that's one, how hard would you take it if somebody said they're taking your one dog? I mean, eventually it will work itself out, as we discussed. Mm-hmm. The numbers will decrease, everything will work itself out.
And she will be limited on the number of litters. Yep. And the one person we did hear from was on her property was the person that said that they were all kept separate, they're quiet, there's no smell, it's kept neat.
Thank you. I've been enlightened. That's a good, excellent point.
Mm-hmm. I would just make it, the number is irrelevant. Because it's got a cycle.
I have a question on B, residential foster dog permit. Do we need to insert in there that the foster dogs need to be licensed?
No, it says that in the foster dog line. It does not reference.
Okay, so we don't need it there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so do I hear a motion to approve the ordinance 6.04.015 titled Number of Dogs with the addition of number three, then maximum number of litters per year, per calendar year, and a resident is three unless a commercial kennel license is obtained. Do I hear a motion for that? Okay, Charles first.
Second.
Gina seconded. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great. This is good. All right. An ordinance amending OMC section 17.09.43 titled Kennel. Eamon?
This is an ordinance changing, amending Title 17, and you can see our old version of kennel said more than two dogs constitute a kennel, less than an eight-week-old pup shall not constitute a dog. That was really the conflict between Chapter 6, was that phrase right there. So we have changed it based on council's comments to read, kennels include commercial kennels defined as commercial kennel, a place for dogs and or cats, and the council said include cats, are kept by persons for breeding with the offspring offered for sale or where such dogs and or cats are received for care, training, and boarding for compensation.
Questions?
So you guys decided not to go with any kind of number there. Dogs are kept for breeding. I guess we've taken care of that with the one we just passed.
Okay. Right. It said more than three was a kennel.
Is that the commercial kennel then has to be, not to be in a residential area? Is that right?
Yes, as so we move through this, you'll see that the other ordinance will say in an industrial area only under the premises one.
So do I hear a motion to approve ordinance 17.09.43 titled Kennel?
Make that motion.
Mark Snyder first. Dan, did you say? Okay, Dan, second. Any discussion? Further discussion? No? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Great, that passes. An ordinance creating OMC section 17.56.12 titled Use of Premises Kennel.
To briefly highlight the points that the council wanted in this ordinance. And this is a new ordinance, a ordinance of creating use of premises kennel. The kennels are under 1756.25, commercial kennels, as defined in OMC 17.09, which we already did, are permitted only in the industrial zone subject to the following. And that was your point, Councilmember Deaver, only in industrial areas. And then you have a point A, commercial kennel permit, must be applied for and obtained from the city. We will have an application process for that. B, in addition to obtaining business license, so this is again commercial kennel in industrial zone, kennel permit is $100, so a fee was established last time you talked, and the fee is for 1 year, the license is for 1 year. And then if you move down to section D, and this is an important one, no commercial kennel shall be operated so as to constitute a nuisance. So then if it becomes a nuisance by our nuisance ordinance, then we can do something about that. And then E, should any animals be sold to a city resident, and said animals required to be licensed pursuant to our chapter 6.04. And we discussed that at the last meeting, the need for dogs sold to residents of the city to be licensed at the same time.
Questions?
Just a little byline. Does anybody know, does, strictly speaking, does sell of an animal, do you pay sales tax?
I don't know that one. Animals for sale, is that a sales tax on animals?
Go ahead.
I have to pay sales tax on animals.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You have to pay?
I'm sure it's the right thing to do, but I'm sure there's a lot of
well, yeah. Yeah. Well, technically, if you give somebody a license for a commercial kennel and you know they're breeding and selling, you would look for sales tax coming back to you from that site. If
good point.
With that information.
Okay, so I hear a motion to approve ordinance 17.56.125 titled Use of Premises Kennels. Charles first, Ken Johnson second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? All right, that passes. Get down here a ways. Okay, an ordinance creating OMC section 17.56.175 titled Residential Foster Dog Permit.
This ordinance, again, a new ordinance, is creating a residential foster dog permit. And I hope it reflects what the council's desires are. A permit is required, issued by the city. The conditions of the permit are that they bring a certification from a nationally recognized dog rescue or shelter organization which identifies a dog to be fostered. And they have to show proof of vaccinations and provide an identification tag. There's no requirement for these dogs to be licensed, as a question came up earlier. The limit on the number, all permits are limited to 2 foster dogs at any given time. So again, you can have 3 of your own licensed dogs, and you can foster 2. So there could be 5 dogs at a dwelling if we adopt this code. Number 3, limit on, again, 2 foster dogs. Number 4, a limit on duration. The council talked about a 60-day permit with an extension by the animal control officer, an additional 60 days for 120. Beyond that, they have to come to council and ask for any further extensions. The permit fee, there's no fee required for residential foster dog, and that's the city's way of supporting rescue pets.
Questions?
The only advantage, and I think I brought this up before, is the fee is the dog is, quote, registered. You know, if it's lost and found and has a tag on it, they can call up and we can look it up and say who the owner is.
Right.
I wonder if we should go through that process for free.
I don't know, but most dogs today have the chip that's on the skin also.
It's 60 days.
Pet Rescue did say that whenever they do have a foster dog go out, it has tags on it to identify the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And section 2 of that also identifies that under the very last few words.
Okay. Does our local Pet Rescue qualify under the national or certified verbiage?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they are registered nationally. And the reason for the general term nationally recognized, we also have a second pet rescue organization in the city, and they are also nationally recognized. They're not as big as Pet Rescue, they're not well known, but as we were developing this, it came to my attention that there's a second one. I don't remember the name of it, Mayor. Remember we talked about
it? No, I don't remember either.
It's like free something, I can't remember. But there is a second nationally recognized organization. That's why we did not single out Pet Rescue and put any nationally recognized.
So I don't hear a motion to approve ordinance 17.56.125 titled Use of Premises Kennels.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Wait a second, that's the wrong one, isn't it? That's the one we just did. A second here. Somehow I bumped up. Let's see, where is it at? Come on. It won't go up. There it is. There we go. Okay, that's better. Do I hear a motion to approve ordinance 17.56.175 titled Residential Foster Dog Permit?
I'll make that motion.
Gina first?
Second.
Dan second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Awesome. We got through it.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Council. This could have been a very cumbersome process, but due to your guidance and comments, it became very simple. So I want to thank you on both the staff's behalf. Thank you.
Okay, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business today? New business?
I just wanted to take a moment to thank the Crane Festival. Wonderful, wonderful weekend. And especially thank Marcy. I know she put a lot of time in arranging all the speakers and stuff. All the restaurants were busy Friday night. Every place was busy on Saturday during the Crane Festival. Old Hotel had one of the biggest numbers come through there. I was down there for a while, and that place never seemed so crowded down there. With shoulder to shoulder people walking on the hallways. It was wonderful, and a lot of people from out of town.
I think next year it may double. We were on the Sandhill Crane Festival on the front page of the Seattle Times this weekend.
Whoa.
Add one more thing, too. Their numbers was up. They're happy as far as the committee was concerned. They did thank the hotel, our mayor and council. That's a banquet, so we're pleased that we stepped in and helped them out.
Who was happy? That was probably your softball tournament.
No, we got to, you know, we're really blessed to have that here at Sandhill Crane Festival.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I know my wife took two of my grandkids, and they spent the whole rest of the day flying around like birds. They had some masks they made out of something, plaster or something, and they had, it was really cool. Yeah, they were really into it, and they were flying around the backyard and all this, and so it was pretty neat.
They're made out of casting material.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. And they had something painted on their cheeks, and they were into it when they got home, so that was really neat. It was really a neat program we have here.
They had quite a few people to use in, too. Mark, she took care of them for 3 days, and there was pretty good numbers there also, so.
Yeah. Any other new business?
I wanted to thank Eamon and you for getting on that light deal, because that's really important, because it wasn't done by April 30th. There's no lowering season this year. They'll get it in.
No, most people probably don't know. You want to explain, Eamon?
The ball field lighting issue is what Councilmember Garcia is referencing. As you know, the process has been long and overlapping 2 years, or maybe three, if I remember right. The bid was let, the numbers were received. They came in higher, as we talked to council, than we thought. The council agreed to the additional, I think it was $3,500 expenditure. So once you award a bid, then you have to give the bidder time to mobilize. Well, first you have to award the bid, get all the signatures done, then mobilize the equipment, which is going to be tomorrow and Wednesday. The crane will be here Wednesday. And then, of course, you have to give X number of days to complete the project. This project is a 35-day project. But working with the engineers and the contractor and Ken Dawkins, we think we've expedited it to finish by the 28th of April, which is just ahead of the time need be. So, We're pushing very hard to get that done. The contractor does have a few extra days in there, but he said he can get it done by the 28th. We do need to talk tomorrow, if we can, Charles, about the expanded ball field. There's a little hiccup in that. There's a hill there, and we want to make sure the extension, which is 25 feet, the cost benefit to get 25 feet equals the cost it's going to cost us. And I won't have those costs until tomorrow or Wednesday. But I'll email you and let you know.
Just call.
Okay. And what this all means is that there will be a fence put around those four diamonds, and they will not be able to be used for a month, roughly a month, I should say. So that's, you know, there'll be a lot of people unhappy about that. But at the same time, because of safety, a crane and all that, digging trenches to run power and all that, we have to totally shut it down and get this project done so we can enjoy it for the rest of the time. So that's part of the sacrifice of the whole project.
I can't say this. I went through the park on Saturday, and I was talking to a lot of the people that come from out of town and play all the time here. I was explaining to them, hey, we're going to do this, and it's this. And they were real, real excited about having the upgrades. And I mean, there's one guy, I think he said, I counted up all the tournaments, and only 7 weekends this year.
Oh, good. Good. That's what we want to hear. Okay, Mayor's announcements. Mr. Jim Hayduck will be speaking at the Nazarene Church Gathering Place about a fundraising dinner from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on April 1st to benefit those devastated by the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Those monies raised will be given to the American Red Cross to administer the relief funds. Number two is Othello's 14th Annual Spring Cleanup Days will be April 4th through the 9th. There are handouts available at City Hall listing the kinds of materials accepted for disposal. Flyers will be sent to the utility bills on Thursday, so our citizens will receive that. The Gray and Osborne Scholarship Committee needs to review the scholarship applications before May 1st. That is the last day to review. Scholarship night is scheduled for Tuesday, May 24th, and graduation is June 3rd. And then the scholarship committee is council members Spohr and Garcia. So you guys get together and figure out when you can do it. Get a hold of Debbie, right? Debbie knows who it is?
Debbie or...
You can just work it right out with Renee Jensen.
Yeah.
They okay. Don't have to go together either, Debbie, do they? They can go separately.
Oh, okay. Okay, we have news about visitors coming from our sister city. Dr. Jose Bonsu, did I say that right? Okay, just advise that there are three delegates and himself traveling this week to Othello. This visitation dates are currently scheduled for April 1st through April 10th, and we will invite them to our next council meeting. That's what I have. Next, we're going to go into an executive session. The city council will now go into executive session to discuss personnel. We will be approximately 30 minutes. No decisions will be made, and the city attorneys will be present. So if the rest of you, yes.
Mayor, if I could, and council, I just wanted to introduce our new associate at Lamarge, Kennison, Wyman, and Whitaker. This is Anna Franz, and she's been an attorney since 2008, and she's a local girl from Adams County. And she'll be starting with us on Monday, so I was just having her come tonight so she could put faces and names together.
Good. Well, welcome.
This week, she's a UW graduate, both undergrad and her law school degree.
Okay. Good. We're excited to have you. Okay, and the rest will need to go out.
Okay.